Attention is one of those important things in life that we often take for granted, and that can lead to trouble. Hi, I'm Rob West. Margin basically means something extra, a little extra time or even distance from the car in front of you. It's critical, especially with your finances. I'll talk about financial margin today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, you may not always connect the word margin with personal finances, but you're probably familiar with its use in the business world, where the term is usually profit margin. When we buy an item at the store, we don't consider how it got there. But someone had to make it, usually many people working for a company. They all need to be paid wages. Then salespeople had to get retailers to buy the product or service, and they need to be paid a salary and often a commission on top of that. Transportation people have to get the product to retailers, and they need to be paid. Then retailers have to mark up the product because they have bills to pay and need to make a living too. So you've got several business entities involved in getting that product to where you can purchase it. At each step along the way, the manufacturer, trucker, and retailer all need to have a sufficient margin or profit to make it worthwhile for them, or the product never gets to you. Now, how much is sufficient? Well, it varies widely depending on the product and how much it costs to bring it to market. Other factors play a role: competition, market size, and volume. The more units you sell, the smaller your margin needs to be. A new automobile has thousands of dollars of margin, but a lot fewer of them are sold than, say, hamburgers at fast food joints. You know, so many billions served. If you sell a billion of something, even with only a few pennies margin, you'll probably do all right. So how do we apply this lesson to our lives? Well, the same principle holds true when it comes to our margin, and not just for money, but for our time and energy as well. How much do we have left over after all of our obligations are met? You have your job, family commitments, chores around the house, and obligations to your church. So you must also prepare for unexpected or irregular expenses, a broken water pipe or car repairs. All of these involve time, money, and effort on your part. Do you have time and energy left over to recharge your batteries and spend time with God? That's another form of margin that we all need. Now, I'm not equating time with God to your other obligations. That's not just something to check off your to-do list. Time with God isn't something we have to do. It's something we get to do, and it's critical for living a balanced life with our time, families, service to the Lord, and, of course, our money. Now, what does having margin with our personal finances look like? Well, it simply means having extra for the so-called rainy days, family emergencies, medical expenses above your deductible, or helping a visiting missionary or college student if God speaks to your heart. The key to acquiring that margin is living on a budget or a spending plan to help you decide in advance where your money will go. Did you know there are only four things you can do with money? You can live on it, give it away, owe it to someone, or grow it. Every dollar you've ever made or ever will make goes into one of those four buckets. A budget is just a way of deciding ahead of time what goes where. By the way, this isn't the same as balancing your checkbook, for example. That's just seeing where your money went, not deciding in advance where it should go. If you haven't downloaded the FaithFi app at your app store, we encourage you to do so. It uses the envelope system and gives you three different ways to set up your budget, making the process really easy. If you're not making spending decisions ahead of time and giving yourself financial margin, your income won't be able to keep up with your outgo. As you set up your spending plan, you may see that you have more month left over when the money runs out. If that happens, you've got to make some changes. Find a way to increase your income or reduce your expenses, or both. The key is learning to live on less than you make, having margin or money left over at the end of the month. Without it, you'll slide into debt and never be able to save for the future. And here's a bonus. When you finally get financial margin, you may find that you also have more physical and emotional margin. You'll sleep better, feel more relaxed, and be better able to use your spiritual gifts to serve God and help others. So that's the importance of margin, financial and otherwise. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The book of Hebrews tells us to run the race, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Easy to say, harder to do. We can't help but look down at our feet, and just like a runner or a person plowing a field, when we look down, we get off course. We can also get exhausted, can't we? It's hard to continually run after Christ. Burnout is a real danger. I take heart from my favorite prophet, Isaiah. In chapter 40, he says, "Even the youth grow weary. Even the most vigorous grow tired." But what? But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. I need new strength. How about you? Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
We can all know more about God than we know, and we can be closer to Him than we are. Because, you know, we are made to know God. We were created to relate to Him, to know Him personally, as a father, as a friend, as a creator, as a sustainer.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for Knowing the God You Worship on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, we started talking about margin today, a critical piece of your financial puzzle. Here's one of the things that my friend Shanti Feldhahn, the researcher, found from Harvard. When she wrote the book with her husband Jeff, Thriving in Love and Money, they found, and you won't be surprised by this, 70% of married couples have conflict over money. But among the keys to overcoming that conflict around money in marriage was margin. You see, it wasn't a matter of their income level that determined whether or not they were going to have conflict. What Shanti and Jeff found is that having margin or cushion, living below your means, whatever those means are, was critical to being able to overcome conflict. Having that little buffer there that you know, some breathing room in your finances so you can give more or accomplish your savings goals or just know that you're not living right up to to the edge. And if something happens, you know, you've got a little cushion there. That was key, not only just to financial health, but to marriage health as well. So this is a big idea. And it's one of the five, I think, keys to successful money management. You see, we need to live within our means. We need to set long-term goals. We need to avoid the use of debt. We need to give generously, but we also need to have margin or liquidity. That is something beyond what we're bringing in so that we can ultimately, aligned with our values, accomplish our goals and objectives. So think about that today. Perhaps it's time to dial back your spending to free up a little bit extra. All right, let's take your calls and questions today. We've got lines open and we'll turn the corner and tackle anything you're thinking about today, whether it's your investments, maybe it's helping an adult child and how much is too much. I'll actually weigh in on that a little later in the program. Maybe it's your credit score, paying down debt, or how you give more effectively, whatever it might be. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's start today in Ohio. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm interested. My financial advisor is wanting me to go from a revocable trust to an irrevocable trust. What is that? I mean, what am I getting into if I do this?
Yeah, you know, I would get some counsel from an estate planning attorney before you'd consider that. I'm not an attorney, so I can't give you legal advice. What I can just tell you generally is, you know, it's much more favorable to have a revocable trust just because you can change it. Obviously, the irrevocable trust, by definition, cannot be changed or modified once it's created. Why would somebody have an irrevocable trust? Well, typically, it's to either minimize estate taxes, although, you know, that's not an issue for most folks because the threshold for 2023 this year where you'd trigger an estate tax is nearly $13 million. So you'd have to have a pretty sizable estate before you have estate taxes, although that can change down the road without question. So they'd want to minimize estate taxes. It could be in some cases to become eligible for government programs, or thirdly, to protect your assets from creditors. Revocable trusts do not do that in the way that irrevocable trusts do. So I think the first idea is to understand, you know, what is the purpose behind having an irrevocable trust, and is that the most effective tool, and is it necessary? And I would say this is where wise counsel, Bill, is really helpful, because having a godly estate planning attorney to weigh in on that, looking at your overall estate plans, helping you make sure that they're orderly and current and up to date, reflecting your wishes, but also utilizing the most effective tools for what you're trying to accomplish would be the job of that individual. So this is an advisor, meaning like a financial planner or an investment advisor, that's suggesting this?
A financial planner.
Okay. And why is he or she suggesting this?
Well, he says that it'll help if I go into a nursing home.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. So they're trying to make sure that you're eligible for government programs and protect your assets from creditors. And so I think what I would do is probably talk to an elder care attorney, somebody who specializes in this, because you're going to need somebody to draft it anyway. But understanding the implications of that, whether or not it's beneficial for you, is going to be key. Do you have either an estate or an elder care attorney that you know of?
As a matter of fact, I have an appointment with one on the 6th of April.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that would be the individual to kind of talk through this with you, relay what you're being told by your financial planner, and you know, this attorney can help you navigate that. It could be that it's exactly what you should do, but you know, I would spend some time to really think and talk through it before you make that decision. Hey, let us know how it turns out, Bill. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'll stay in Ohio. Hi, Jake. You're on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. I have a diesel repair business fixing heavy trucks, semis, and cement mixers, and I was just looking for advice in investing into like Roth IRAs or CDs, and then also a life insurance policy, which I currently don't have either of right now.
Yeah, very good. Let's talk about both of those. So how's the business doing, Jake?
I'm doing really well.
Good. Are you paying yourself a salary out of the business, or, you know, is it a little more kind of freewheeling than that?
Currently, I've just been letting all the money stay in the business and just reinvest in the business and just only spend money on like needed expenses like food and bills.
Okay. But do you have a separate accounting for your personal finances and the business, or is it all kind of mixed together?
It's all together.
Yeah. One of the things you may want to look at, Jake, is actually separating things, because ideally you'd have a different set of books, a different business checking account, business credit card. You'd have an EIN number. You'd think through the legal structure of that business, and you'd operate that business separately. Even if it's an S corp and it's all flowing through to you personally, your ability to take deductions on business expenses and defend that before the IRS is really going to be dependent upon you being able to show clear delineation between what's your personal expenses and what's your business expenses. And then ideally you'd set yourself up on a salary where you'd pay yourself a salary out of the business. And then over time you could make distributions of profit, things like that. In terms of both investing and life insurance, let me tackle those separately. With regard to investing, you do need to be putting some money away for the long term. What is your age?
I'm 26.
Okay, great. So you got time on your side. What I would probably do, probably the simplest opportunity would be to open what's called a SEP IRA, SEP. That's going to allow you to put away a lot more money than the Roth. You could start with the Roth and you could put away $6,500 this year because you're under the age of 50, but you're going to quickly bump up against that limit. The SEP IRA is going to allow you to put away quite a bit more, $66,000 or 25% of compensation, whichever is less. But clearly that's going to be quite a bit more than the $6,500 you can put in the Roth. Now, the Roth is going to be after-tax money. It's going to grow tax-free. I'd stick that in just either a high-quality mutual fund or an indexed ETF. Just let that go and kind of forget about it. With regard to the SEP IRA, you'd get a deduction as it goes in, but then you could do something similar with the investments. So that would be what I would start there. Let's do this, though. I've got to grab a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the life insurance piece, tell you how to think about how much life insurance you need, and then I can get any questions or follow-up thoughts you have on that. So, Jake, you stay right there. We're going to take a quick break on Faith and Finance. Much more to come just around the corner. 800-525-7000. Give us a call.
As long as God provides, AFR will continue this broadcast ministry in Jesus' name.
The news of this world outside of your station that is the call of sanity and truth, without y'all, there's just no way I could stay sane.
Spring Share-a-thon is coming April 11th through 13th.
Thank you so much for everything that you do in terms of getting the truth out there.
And thank you for supporting AFR during Share-a-thon.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hello, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. As many of you know, Hurricane Ian devastated Southwest Florida late last year, making landfall as a Category 4 hurricane and leaving tens of thousands of families in need of help. Hurricane Ian caused over $110 billion of damage, but today we're excited to announce that 8 Days of Hope 19 will take place in Fort Myers, Florida from May 20th to the 27th, bringing much-needed relief to these families in need. We'll be focusing on roofing and drywall, mechanicals, painting, and so much more. If you love to use your gifts to serve those in need, we invite you to join us. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. Everyone is invited regardless of your skill set or your age. If you can't volunteer, we invite you to pray for this outreach. Pray that the families we serve would see God glorified as we rebuild their homes. For additional information regarding this rebuilding trip and how to get involved, please visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God owns it all. We're stewards or managers of His resources, and money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. So when we seek first the kingdom, it really puts everything in its proper perspective. Hey, we've got some lines open today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Jake. He's in his mid-20s. He's got a diesel repair service business that's going pretty well. He's thinking about investing in life insurance. And Jake, just before the break, I was saying, other than really trying to separate your business from your personal finances for tax benefits and just so you can really better manage your personal finances with a consistent flow of income, and also monitor the business health because it's not mixed in and intertwined with your personal finances. On the investing front, I would look at a Roth. And once you've fully funded that at $6,500, and if you're married, $13,000 between you and your spouse, then I'd look at a SEP IRA, which would allow you to put in up to $66,000 or 25% of compensation, whichever is less. I'd try to target 10 to 15% of your income as a goal going into that retirement account between the two accounts. With regard to the life insurance, do you have anybody, are you married and or do you have kids?
No.
You're not. Okay. So is there anybody depending upon you for your income or anything like that?
My dad, but that's about it.
Okay. So you really don't need life insurance, it doesn't sound like, at this point, because really the purpose of life insurance is to offset a risk that exists, a hardship that would be created for your loved ones if something happens to you unexpectedly. It's really for their financial protection. So if you were married and your spouse was counting on your income or you had kids, you'd want to make sure that if something happened to you, that they could maintain their lifestyle, or she could, if you didn't have kids, because, you know, the life insurance would kick in and that would allow her to generate an income off of the proceeds of the life insurance. And then on top of that, in many cases, you'd want to add enough to pay off a mortgage or cover, you know, education for your kids, even pay off all your debt. But if you don't have anybody who's counting on you, if the Lord calls you home, then you're not creating a financial burden for any loved ones. So at this point, it's really not a necessary expense for you.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think the key for you right now is just to kind of get the business and the personal finances separated and shored up, maybe get an accountant to help you set up the books. If you don't have a business account and business credit card, you know, things like that for the business, I'd do that. And then get those, one or both of those IRAs open so you could start making a systematic contribution there. And if you just do that on a consistent basis over the next 40 years, given your age, I mean, you'll have quite a bit of a nest egg built up on top of the value of the business that, you know, hopefully you could sell someday as well. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good. All right. Well, listen, if we can help you further, don't hesitate to reach out, Jake. And God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you and tackle whatever question you're thinking about today. To Montana, beautiful Montana. Judith, how are you today?
I'm driving in a snowstorm. How are you today?
Oh, no. Well, you be careful. Do we need to have you back on at a different time, or are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay. How can I help you?
My question was, what is the best way to transfer the ownership of my home property to my four children?
Yeah.
Upon death.
Sure. So there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can just bequeath it to them in your will. You can sign what's called a transfer on death deed, which means that it transfers at your death outside of probate, if that was important to you, or you could put it into a trust. And then at your death, your trustee could handle your home according to your wishes, whether that means liquidating it and distributing the proceeds over time based on them reaching certain ages or, you know, other factors, distributing it right away. But what you don't want to do is gift it to them prior to your death, because that's going to be, it's going to create a disadvantage with regard to capital gains. Because one of the benefits of them receiving it, whether it's through a will, a transfer on death, or a trust, one of the benefits of receiving it at your death is they get what's called a stepped up basis, which just simply is how the capital gains tax is determined. If they receive it as an inheritance, the basis is stepped up to the property value as of your date of death. So regardless of what you paid for it, the new cost basis is the value of the property as of your date of death. So if they turn around and sell it, there's no capital gains because they're selling it for the market value that was established, you know, weeks before when you passed away. And so then 100% of the money is then available to them to use. So that's one of the benefits. If you gift it to them, it's going to retain your cost basis. So when they turn around to sell it, they're going to have to pay capital gains on the difference between the selling price and your purchase price, the cost basis. So for that reason, you're going to want to pass it to them through an inheritance. And whether you use the will, the TOD, or a trust is probably something I would talk to my attorney about, my estate planning attorney, just to discuss the most effective and efficient way to do that in light of everything else you're trying to do with your wealth transfer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So there is really no advantage to putting it in a joint tenancy or something on that order, because if I have more than one kid on there, then that causes confusion.
Well, that and, you know, you'd be gifting this property to them prior to your death, which is going to, you know, create the challenges with the capital gains tax that I mentioned below before. So you're really going to want to give it to them at your death in the manners I described. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I was able to follow up with Judith offline, and she's going to visit with her estate attorney to see about adding a TOD, a transfer on death deed, to her property there in Montana so it can be efficiently passed to her heirs at death outside of probate, but obviously it still retain that stepped up basis that is so helpful when we're passing assets and property to kids and others through an inheritance. We also are going to send her a copy of Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs. By the way, if you're thinking through wealth transfer decisions, the last stewardship decision we'll make as stewards of God's resources, there's no better book out there than Splitting Heirs. Heirs, H-E-I-R-S. You'll find it wherever you buy books. And it's really not as much about the mechanics and the tools of estate planning. It's about the why of estate planning. And how do you think through how much to leave to the kids versus what to give away? And what are those different decision points along the way? And what if you've got one child who's really struggling and one who's thriving spiritually and financially? And is it okay to treat your children differently? All of these subjects and more are tackled in that book. I'd encourage you to pick up a copy today. Hey, we've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. That's the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Go right ahead. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm currently 57, and I'm interested in getting some long-term care insurance. I was told to wait until 60. I just need to know what should I look for in a plan or if I should even get it, and how much should it be, cost of it.
Yes, very good. I like a long-term care insurance as long as you can afford it. The key is to buy it at the right window of time. I would say anytime between 55 and 65 is the best time. Generally, folks buy them between 60 and 65, but you know, in some cases, it does make sense to buy it a few years before that, just because you can lock in lower premiums. In terms of the average cost, you know, it's going to vary, quite a bit in terms of the number of riders that you add. In terms of the daily benefit and whether you have an inflation rider on there or not, the annual premium at 55, can be a couple of $1,000 a year, up to $3,000 or $4,000 a year, but when you get closer to 65, so they're not inexpensive, and the premiums can increase as well. Now they can't increase for you specifically; they have to increase for everyone in your risk pool, but they do go up, especially with the rising cost of healthcare. So I think, you know, what's really important is to look at connecting with a long-term care insurance agent, somebody who really specializes in this area, who can talk you through the very best, you know, things you want in your policy. You know, in terms of how I might think about it, you know, you want to think about a daily benefit. So, you know, the semi-private room in a nursing home could run you $7,000 a month, whereas, you know, it could be $8,000 or $9,000 a month for a private room in a nursing home. So, you know, you may want, you know, somewhere around $225 a day for a benefit to be able to cover that semi-private room, or even higher if you want to be able to do more. Now, you've got to balance that, though, with the amount you have available in your budget, because you may not be able to buy the Cadillac of long-term care insurance policies, and that's okay, because the right policy for you is the one that fits into your budget that you can keep for the long haul, because then it's going to be there when you need it. And even if it doesn't cover 100% of the costs of long-term care, it could offset that very, you know, major expense that you would be adding to your budget in that season. I think you also want to look at an inflation rider, which is basically just a feature of the policy in addition to that daily dollar amount of benefit. You'd want to look at the ability for that to increase with inflation, especially just given what's going on with inflation. You're losing purchasing power on the benefit of the policy if you don't have it every year. And so that would be something to look at. And then there's other kind of factors in terms of your health and, you know, whether that creates a greater likelihood that you're, you know, going to need long-term care. You know, how long is that waiting period before they start to pay? Is it 90 days? Is it less? Is it more? So these are all the things that a long-term care insurance agent can talk through with you. And then based on your health and risk factors, shop it among the major carriers that are in the long-term care insurance space, and then come back with the right policy for you that fits your budget, that meets your needs, and is really going to help you offset what is, for most Americans, the largest financial risk they have in this season of life, just given that, you know, 75% of those over, you know, 65 will need long-term care at some point for an average of, you know, 18 months to 3 years. I know I'm throwing a lot at you there. What questions do you have?
Are you in favor of them being connected to a life insurance policy? I'm finding that some of them are connected, like, to universal life.
Yes.
A lot of them policies are.
Yes. You know, I'm not a big fan of universal life in general, but if you do it with a long-term care insurance rider where you've mixed the two together, I have seen some policies that can work very well. They're not all created equal, and so it's hard for me to say just in general, yeah, that's absolutely the way to go. But I have seen some products that I like a lot. So again, I think that's where getting a competent agent who can really look at meeting your needs and not just selling you the policy that's going to generate the most commission is really important. And if it did mix universal life and long-term care, and that was really the best solution for you, just given your overall financial picture, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the information.
You are very welcome. I think I'm thrilled to hear you're thinking about this now. It's the right time to do it. We appreciate your call today. To Virginia. Hi, Karen. How can I help you?
Hi there. Good morning to you. I have two questions. I'm soon to be 69. My husband will be 72 in November. He wants to get additional life insurance. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's wise. The reason for this is because he's not real well and he thinks he's going to pass away and I will not have enough money to live on, but I think I'll be okay. And also with the burial insurance, I already have a life insurance policy on him that will be up when I'm 72 years old. He has a small life insurance policy. He worked for the federal government, so he has one that's valued about at $100,000. He once had a lot more, but since he retired, what is your opinion?
Yeah, I think the key is, you know, it's going to be very expensive at this season of life, especially if he's, you know, have some health conditions for you to get a policy at this point, a new policy, just because of the medical underwriting and his age is going to result in a very expensive policy. So it probably doesn't make sense for you to do that. I'd much rather you take that money and, you know, put it away every month and just sock it away so that you're building a nest egg so that if the Lord tarries and he, you know, the Lord's not done with him here quite yet for the next 5 or 10 years, you've been building up money that you can now access, and you've not been throwing it away to a premium that's going to continue to get more expensive, or eventually you're going to have to drop it because you can't afford it anymore. I've got to take a quick break though, Karen. I want to get your thoughts, and I've got a few more things to share with you. So you stay right there. We'll talk more about your life insurance just around the corner. Stay with us.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's
that's
why when you go to the scripture to talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we were talking to Karen. Karen's in Virginia. Her husband is 72, has some medical issues. She is 58. He's wanting to have proper life insurance on his life for her benefit if the Lord were to take him home in the near future. And she's concerned that it may not be the wisest thing to do at this point. And Karen, I was saying, obviously, I don't know your whole financial picture, but just in general, I would agree in the sense that this is going to be very costly, and I'd probably rather you just take that money and sock it away. I guess the other piece of this is just looking at, you know, where you all stand today. If the Lord were to call him home, what assets do you have? What is your budget going to look like? And do you have enough to be able to sustain your lifestyle, you know, once you start collecting Social Security and or with the other assets you've already accumulated? What do you feel like is the status of that right now?
Right now, it's fine. I have this other situation too.
Okay.
I'm going to see an attorney, and this we have our home, and then over our lifetime, we've acquired two small houses. They're side by side, and I'm going to see a lawyer how to handle this. I have I have two daughters. My one daughter is fine. The other one is on disability, and we have a special needs trust for her.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I bought these two small houses is I thought someday, right now my husband and I are the trustees, but that my other daughter, who's doing well, would either be trustee, and and my daughter could live in one of the houses, and I'm thinking about putting both of these houses into a special needs trust. The goal is so my daughter is not homeless when I die, because at this point, I'm very, I lay in bed at night concerned about what's going to happen to her.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's very upsetting.
No. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm just trying to deal with this. What would be the best solution? To sell the houses or to have, I don't know how the rules are. Could you give me some insight?
Yeah, and I'm glad you're, and I'm so sorry to hear about this, and I understand this is weighing heavily on you, and I'm glad you're getting some wise counsel. Did you say you have a meeting coming up with an attorney to talk about this?
Yes, okay. I have, on how to handle this, whether to put my one daughter on the, as a trustee. Of course, my other daughter, who's not well, is going to be furious because they're always battling, you know. And so it's an ongoing battle. So it's been like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, what we need to balance is being able to, as you said, provide for her ongoing needs, both financially and from a living standpoint, and balancing that with eligibility for government benefits and so forth. And that's where a special needs trust, which I'm glad to hear you have one, can be really helpful. Those special needs trusts are supposed to be for the sole benefit of the beneficiary. And so this can be complicated when you have other family members involved that are also taking advantage of the benefit of, let's say, a particular property, and maybe they're caregivers, or maybe they're just also living there. So that has to be factored in. But it can be a very effective strategy where you're avoiding the triggering of interruptions or reductions in benefits through a home sale that's happening outside of a special needs trust. Because although a home is an exempt asset for SSI and Medicaid benefits, the sale of the home in the future, if it's titled to an individual, can result in converting an exempt asset into a countable resource. But if the home's in the special needs trust, then the sale of the home would have no impact on eligibility, but it would also protect it and reserve it for her benefit, which I think sounds like what you're, you know, trying to do. So, you know, you just need to talk through all of this with your estate attorney. You've already got the special needs trust. I think deciding how you want, at least at this point, and this may change over time, but at least at this point, how you want to distribute your estate to all of your children, including your special needs daughter. You know, do you want to reserve one of the properties for her to be able to live in? And it might make sense, and your attorney can confirm this for you, to go ahead and move that into the special needs trust. And then it's going to be important for you to have clear communication with your heirs just about all of these factors, so they understand why you've done what you've done. That can be communicated in advance and hopefully, you know, minimize any kind of squabbling or disagreements after your death, because, you know, all of this has been settled, it's been documented, the estate tools are in place to make sure it happens efficiently. We've protected her against the loss of government assistance. We've set her up with both financial resources and housing. And, you know, all of that's done in advance, which will give you a lot of peace of mind to know that, okay, I've done the planning and, you know, this is going to work out, you know, beyond my life, which is obviously your objective. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So I'm glad to hear you say that you think that was a good idea, me buying these two small houses.
Yeah.
It was my, I had thought maybe the one house she could live in and then the other house could be rented, and the income generated from that would help her.
Yes.
So that's what my goal was.
Well, I think it's a great thought, and obviously arranging for a stable living environment is a high priority, but there's a lot of considerations. They get very complex, and so that's why, you know, you having some wise counsel of somebody who can kind of walk alongside you to make sure that it's set up properly to accomplish all of your objectives is going to be really key. So I'm confident, Karen, you're on the right path here. I'm glad to hear you're getting some wise counsel, and sure that once you finish with that meeting, you'll have a lot more clarity about where you need to go from here. And if we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you very much. Thanks for calling today. Quickly to Arkansas. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in a dilemma, and I had inherited some
money from when my parents passed. And I'm also the trustee over a sibling. And I wanted, they were in Wells Fargo, and I wanted to get away from Wells Fargo. So I went to another investor. And now I'm in a dilemma because I just found out there were two guys handling both of these trusts, and one of them is going to another company. So I'm being pulled.
Okay.
And I want, I mean, it was with a Christian company, you know, that had, will have more biblical values, I guess I should say.
Sure.
And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I just need some advice.
Yeah. So what you're trying to solve for here, Cindy, is being with an advisor who can bring faith-based investments, or is it more about the custodian where the account is housed? Where do you feel like you're not properly aligned with your values currently?
Well, I don't. It's just I'm being pulled. I'm by myself, and I feel like where I'm at, it was fine. I went with Inspire Advisors.
Okay.
And then now this other individual is moving to a different company.
Okay.
And so I'm just being pulled.
Sure.
I could give you an idea of kind of where, you know, when I got away from Wells Fargo, it was basically to get away from those woke companies, the values.
Sure. Well, here's the thing. You just because an advisor is leaving and moving to another, brokerage firm or other platform, doesn't mean you have to go. So that's always your decision. This happens all the time. So, it's something, folks have to deal with because advisors tend to move around for a variety of reasons. I'm familiar with the Inspire Advisors and know that, their whole goal there at Inspire is to really offer investments, both advisors and investment solutions that align with the values of believers. And so I can understand why you'd want to be there. So I think your options are either, again, not to let somebody else's decision to move dictate what you have to do. So you either stay where you are and ask that you be handed off to another advisor. Perhaps you have the opportunity to interview, two or three and pick the one that's the best fit for you, or listen to the case being made from the advisor who's making the move as to where he or she is going and how they're going to be able to continue to serve you with faith-based investments in this new platform. And then ultimately that decision is yours. I realize it's never fun to kind of move from one advisor to another, and yet that may be the very best thing for you to do at this point. But I don't think you need to feel pressured just because he or she's making a change for you to do that as well. That ultimately needs to be your decision just based on the options that are being presented.
Well, part of the issue is one advisor. There were two advisors that I've worked with because it's my sibling and myself, and one is leaving and one is staying.
Okay. Could we just consolidate the accounts under the one advisor who's staying? Would that be an option?
It definitely is. But do you have other options?
I do, yeah. So we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, and many of the Inspire advisors have the CKA, so it doesn't mean that you can't stay right there. But to get some other options, what I would do, Cindy, is just head to our website, faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. And then you can do a zip code search right there in Arkansas for other advisors who've attained the CKA designation, which means they met high standards and character and competence and pastor reference and client references and statement of faith, and they've gone through a university training on biblically wise financial advice. I mean, it's a high bar. But then once you get, two or three that look like they may be a good fit, I'd interview them. And one of the questions I'd ask is, can you offer me faith-based investments? Because that's really important to me. Not all of them do, but many do. So that would at least give you another alternative to either stay with the one advisor at Inspire or perhaps consider a change. If you have further questions, once you do that, Cindy, give us a call back. I'd be delighted to visit with you. Marie, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you today. I'd love to get you on tomorrow. We're out of time today. Thanks for being along with us on Faith and Finance. Thank you to Pat, Devin, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.